Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Hallelujah. November 18th coming up, we will be, I think it's the 18th, it's one of those Sundays. Pastor Larry and Phelan will be here with us. I'm going to have him minister. I've had it on my heart for a while to bring him back in. And you'll want to be here. This is not something that he would tell you, because he's not going to. He's just not that way, which I appreciate it about him. But he really functions as an apostle. It's interesting because I minister with them at a believers' rally every year. I have now for, I think, 8 years, and we got another one coming up in Dickinson, North Dakota, where it's about 300 or 400 of us get together and just learn how to flow with the Holy Spirit and learn from the Word. And I suppose they probably have between 10 and 15 different speakers that speak. Maybe that's a little high, somewhere in there. And one of the years, God will do this to me every once in a while. He won't give me a message to preach. How many know it's easier when you got a whole page of notes? Okay. But he'll just hijack the whole thing and let me walk by faith. And so he's done that to me, and I'm used to it, but I'm not used to it. But one night he did this to me in their meetings, and there's a passage of scripture, I believe it's in Job. And it talks about, it's Job 39, it talks about the war horse. How many have ever read that before? And the Lord told me, he said, tonight, and this was right before I got up to minister, he said, tonight, I'm going to have you minister on why Larry is the way he is. And I thought, my goodness, Lord. You know, because Pastor Larry is 68, I'm 41. He's my senior. You understand what I mean by that? How many know that just like in the natural, we have respect for the older? You know, like my kids respect their parents and they respect their grandparents. You understand what I'm saying? There's that, but it's the same way in the spirit too. Anybody that's been in the ministry as long as he has and has accomplished by the grace of God and through faith what he has needs to be respected. I'm not saying you have to connect with it. That's up to God whether you do or not, but you need to show respect for the offices that God has placed in the body of Christ. How many would agree with that? You're saying, well, I have to pay respect to every person that calls himself an apostle or prophet. I think you should respect and love all the brethren. Whether they're an apostle or prophet or not, maybe just a sign they hung on themselves. I would say look for the fruit on the tree. You say, well, I don't want to judge it. You better judge everything that comes to you, not only through this pulpit, but through any minister. Amen. That's not, you know, you're not disrespecting when you analyze what's being said and by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God and see if it's for you or not. You're not like baby birds. At least you're not supposed to be. You know, when the mom comes back with food, what do the baby birds do? They just open their mouth, and whatever mom has, they shove right in. I mean, you know, there's a lot of Christians like that. Oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. And they wonder why their stomach is sick. Because they ate junk. Amen. And it's the same spiritually. But with him, the Lord gave me this verse and in this chapter. I'm like, oh, Lord. Okay, I'll do it. You know? So you walk by faith. You just jump on the water, and you're standing there. And you just keep walking. And you hope that afterwards everything went okay. And then, and in this case it did. But what the Lord showed me is that he's like a war horse. And if you read through Job 39, it's pretty interesting. You'll find some interesting characteristics about that horse. The Bible actually says that that war horse smells the battle from afar. And it paws the ground. Why? That horse is not afraid. That horse, fight. There's a fight. Now, if you know Larry, you know fight. He doesn't mind a spiritual fight. And that's why they've been able to accomplish what they have. Well, I like to bring him in to just turn over tables and have a whip in his hand and run through the crowd and see how many chairs he can mess up. You say, not very pastoral. It's completely pastoral. You just can't do it every Sunday. And usually as the pastor, you can't do it. Okay? Not that it can't happen sometimes, but you need to bring in a guest minister to just speak what the Holy Spirit's saying. How many have noticed you've gotten things when a guest minister comes that you just don't get during the regular week of services? How many have noticed this, that going to church can be boring? I'll raise both my hands and my foot. Look, I'm just as human as you are. I got to wake up on Sunday morning and go, okay, we're going to do this. Why? Because I got flesh just like you. You worked hard all week and I get to preach on Sunday. Don't feel sorry for me. It's a faith walk, amen? We are all in the same boat. How many have noticed that your body wakes up and it goes, it's raining outside. I want to go back to bed. Am I the only human present this morning? Or your kids acting like knotheads for 2 days in a row? Come on. That's just life, man. It gives you an opportunity to walk in love. Somebody say, walk in love. And walk by faith. Not by how you feel. It's not about how you feel. It's about what he said, and you doing the right thing, and your feelings will change. Don't worry. Amen. They'll change. You'll bounce. How many have woke up in the morning? This happened this morning to some of you. I know by the Holy Spirit. How many woke up this morning and it just feels like there's a fog everywhere you go in your mind? It's like, what? Why are we doing this? It's spiritual. You have to resist it. Amen. That's walking by faith. Well, it doesn't look like anything's working. Hallelujah. It's all working. This is spiritual warfare. Well, how could it be that simple? It is that simple. And if you stick with God and his word, you'll see breakthrough. You'll see it. See, you're in a dark place in this world. It's we're going to look at some of it this morning, but the enemy's working. And it's not just your thoughts that you're dealing with. The enemy brings you thoughts. How many have noticed that? Okay? It's not just your thoughts. Sometimes people will come to me and they're like, I'm thinking these thoughts. I'm like, that is not your thought. That's a thought from the enemy that he's seeding, that he's trying to get you to accept. Then once he gets you to accept it, then he condemns you over what he put in your mind. Why? Because that's how he operates. This is spiritual warfare. Simple, isn't it? But how many have noticed he's pretty crafty? He's slick. Have you noticed that? He's slick. So you got to watch out for that. But anyway, that's just a side prophetic note. Pastor Larry's going to come. It's going to be good. So you want to be here that day. Go to Ephesians 6. You say, how can you do that? Trust me, it's easy. The spirit of prophecy is Jesus. It's the testimony of Jesus. Amen? So Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at some truths this morning, and then we'll send you on your way. How many know it's okay to come to church, hear a teaching, and go home, and nothing exploded along the way? How many know it's okay to come to church, sing a few songs, but nothing really, you know, spectacular happened? But you worship the Lord in faith, and you read the word in faith, and you heard a word, and you received it by faith, and then you got in your car, and you applied the word all week, and then you show up on Wednesday, and you hear the word, and it's good, and you apply that word to your life on a daily basis. You pray for who you need to, and you walk by faith, and then you come the next Sunday, and the same thing. How many know that's okay? That's okay. That's living by faith. Amen. Amen. Not every service do you have to roll on the floor. Jump pews. You say jump pews. Some people are like, what does that mean? You haven't been around much. You said, at my church, the only thing that moved was barely a kid, and then the mom, pow, don't move. This is a reverential place. I've told this before, but I got to say it again. My grandparents were Episcopal. That's about as close to Catholic as you can get. I mean, there are others that are in there, okay? So you say, well, what would happen in their church? Well, the priest would get up And he had the robe, you know, and all that stuff. And when you took communion, it was real wine, not this grape juice they give you around here. It was real wine. And it didn't matter your age. And everybody drank from the same cup. Man, you better be in faith, brother. That priest is grabbing every one of them wafers, and he, you know, he gives you the drink of wine, and then he wipes it off with a little, you know, so in case, I don't know, in case ladies have lipstick, I don't know. Maybe it was sanitized, I don't know. And you notice we don't do that here, okay? It's just a different, thank you, somebody, I thought I heard, thank you. Y'all have to drink from this cup, ready, go, you know. It's just the traditions that they've developed over the years. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not against or for whatever. It doesn't matter. But one service, I had never experienced this before. We're there, and one of the guys comes through with the robe. I don't know if it was the priest. I don't remember who it was because I don't know how it all works. But he had a pot at the end of a gold chain, and it was on fire. Well, it wasn't on fire. But it was smoking. They were burning, incense, yeah. And he's swinging it. Like down the aisle, and the smoke's going everywhere. And I'm like, whoa, I've seen people run the halls, run the pews, fall on the floor and laugh, but I had never seen that before. It was new to me. But you know what I noticed? God ministered to me in that church. Come on. You can learn from the Lord. If you're just open to Him and it's His word, you can learn from the Lord. You know that priest got up and preached and he shared? It was awesome. But he was talking about worship. He said, in our church, and he had an English accent. I wish I had an English accent. But anyway, he had an English accent and he said, in our church, we need more people laying in the aisles during worship. This was the priest. I'm like, what? And he demonstrated it. He got down on his knees. He didn't lay all the way out, but he got down on his knees. He said, we need more people raising their hands and stuff. Why? Because it's biblical. Sure, the style of the church looked a little bit different than what I was used to, but you know who was there? The Lord. Amen? So my point in that is this, is that not everything has to go a specific way or what you think in your mind for it to be the service that you thought it was supposed to be. Sometimes, just how many have noticed, you just read your word in the morning before you go to work, there's like fuel inside of you, okay? And you're a witness and you're a light, whether you say something or not. Amen. So this morning I want to continue along the Spirit Wars message, part 2. Ephesians chapter 6 is where you're going. If you're wondering about the significance of understanding the subject we are looking at, first I would refer you back to the golden text that we've been looking at in this series so far. Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's a good reason to understand the enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. You can jot these down. I'm going to go through them pretty quick. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, once we get into that verse, it's going to change your life. Okay, but we got to lay a little bit of foundation here first. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3, Paul said this, but I fear, talking to the Corinthian church, lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The second reason why it's a good idea in our introduction here to understand your enemy is found in James chapter 4, verse 7, which says this, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How are you going to resist somebody you don't know? How are you going to resist an enemy you're not aware of? How are you going to resist an enemy that you do not know how they operate at all? It's going to be difficult. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. Okay? 1 Peter 5:8, another good reason. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. You know, I've been in services and been around long enough in church services, different ministers, probably good ministers, they're just messed up on this point. They have taught that acts of the devil were acts of God. Can I ask you something? How are you going to resist the enemy if you think it's God? God is not making this difficult to understand. Religious thinking, religious brainwashing will make your spiritual life confusing and difficult. But when you go to the Word will light the situation up like a halogen in the middle of a dark room. When you look into the Word of God, it's as simple as what He says it is, and we just read it a second ago, that the enemy wants to take your mind away from the simplicity that is in Christ. The thoughts that come to you that hold a sense of fear, worry, complication, confusion, all those things, those are of the enemy. Any thought that comes to you that carries the essence of the enemy is of the enemy. How many have had a thought that came to you and it was just off the wall and fear came with it? You resist that. You submit to God and you resist that. This is spiritual warfare. So, let's look at a few things here. Despite the fact that modern scientists are trying to do away with the ideas that the devil and demons influence and their influence exists, the Bible is explicit that such was and is the case. As seen in the ministry of Jesus, demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He dealt with them as those who were possessed by casting out the demons. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 16. This is what Jesus did to minister to people. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. What did Jesus deal with? A demon. Now, what if Jesus came down and he looked at what was going on in this situation because people were obviously under oppression and they were sick in body, and he looked at it and he said, "Now, wait a minute, guys, this might be of God." Good point, Sean. You should go with that. I will. Thank you. You say, you're upending my theology. I'm not. Jesus is. Jesus recognized enemy activity. In order for the Son of God to accomplish what he did, he had to come against an enemy. In order for you to walk the life that God wants you to walk, you're going to have to come against an enemy. Amen? And in order to come against, you're going to have to recognize who that enemy is. Once you recognize who the enemy is, then spiritually you put yourself in a battle position ready to take on your foe. Does that make sense? Okay, let's look at a few more here. We're building a foundation here. Mark chapter 5, verse number 2 says this, "And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." What are demon spirits? They are unclean. How many have noticed that the enemy runs at a high level in real unclean places? You ever notice that? Here's a reason. Unclean is a manifestation of something spiritual. Does that make sense? Okay? Just to help you This will help you give reference and context to the things that go on in your life, and you'll be able to look at them and go, oh, whoa, that thought was unclean. How many have had an unclean thought before? Okay? Well, where did it come from? It didn't come from the Lord. It's possible it came from your flesh or motivated by the nature of the flesh, but more than likely it's the enemy trying to stir you up in a direction or tempt you in a direction that you're not supposed to go. Amen. Like when somebody cuts you off in traffic. And you think, boy, I should ram my car right into theirs. They took my parking spot. Come on, how many have watched YouTube? They parked in my spot. Ram, ram. Okay, so that was an unclean motivation. You should forgive and let it go and move on. Amen? So unclean spirits. Who had his dwelling? Verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, he lived in the tombs. He lived in death. Isn't that interesting? And no one could bind him, no, not even with chains. We'll look at this later. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains were pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Are you reading this? Is that real? Or is this just the fairy tale book? Is it real? Okay, I just want to make sure. Because sometimes I think we get away from the Word and people get ideas that aren't biblical. It says this, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. He was what? He's wild. If you're not tameable, what are you? You're wild. Okay? And then it says this in verse 5, and always night and day he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and what? He was what? How many of you have ever heard of cutters? Where do you think that came from? Right there. Right there. Well, I just don't know. I can't control my... No, no. It's an evil influence, and you just need a good influence to come in and flush you out. You need a spiritual cleaning. Amen. It says this, how many want freedom in your life? Then you want to know the truth. Amen. Glory. And then it says this, he was cutting himself. Now watch this. This is awesome. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. So as powerful as the demon activity was in this man, he was not able to stop the man from doing what? Running to Jesus and what? Worshiping him. See, greater is he who's in me. Come on. Than he who's in the world. Okay? All right. Then he says this. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. So what was talking to Jesus? The unclean spirit. What did Jesus say? You gots to go, brother. Get out of this person. Notice Jesus didn't say, you're a worthless person. Get out of here. No, he sees the value in the person and is able to separate the unclean spiritual influence from the person. Why? So that the person can have a clean spiritual influence implanted inside of them. Amen. Okay? Now, most people you know, and everybody in this room is not in this condition, okay? So don't go home tonight and go, oh no, I'm going to turn into the madman of Gadara. No, you're not. You're not. That's not going to happen. This man gave himself over to things that we don't know about and ended up entertaining and being a part of spiritual fellowship with things that he shouldn't have and ended up getting demon-possessed. But most of the people in your life are not demon-possessed. People are like, I think they are. I know them. I think I've seen them levitate at work. No, you haven't. We're going to have to laugh a little bit just to get through this. So he said, come out of the man, that you unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And at once, Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. And it says there were about 2,000 pigs. That's a lot of pigs. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. That was the first case of deviled ham that ever existed. That was the first case. You're not going to forget that story ever again. That is not new to me, or that's not, I didn't come up with that. I heard that somewhere, but it's true. Matthew 9:32 says this, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. Jesus most certainly believed that he cast the demons out of those individuals. He made this fact of ministry a proof of his divine mission. When the Pharisees accused him of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he showed them the foolishness of such a claim. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils or demons, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils or demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. That's found in Matthew chapter 12, verse 26 through 28. So much did he believe that demons were real, that he was casting and that he was casting them out, that he warned those who were criticizing him for this work that they were bordering on the unpardonable sin. Isn't that interesting? He said, be careful lest you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Come on. That's all in that passage right there in Matthew chapter 12. So something that you can look at. All right. What else? How else do we know that understanding this is important? How about the ministry of the early church? Further scriptural testimony to the reality of demon possession found in the apostolic commission, which came from the lips of Jesus himself. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out demons. The early apostles did this in Acts chapter 5, verse 16. It says, this was fulfilled in the ministry of the early apostles. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them that were what? They were tormented. They were vexed with what? Unclean spirits, and they were healed. People were vexed with what? Can I ask you something? Has that changed? No. We see this in Acts chapter 8, verse 6 and 7. Philip, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed with them, and many who were taken with palsies and were lame were healed. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16, verse 16 says this, now it happened as he went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us. A spirit of what? Divination. Fortune telling. Who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. There it is. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation, and this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, how many know that might annoy you, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Now watch this. But when her masters saw that their hope for profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. You say, who would use somebody and make money off them like that? Hello, welcome to planet Earth. That happens today, right now, in this world. That's an unclean spirit. So not only is the enemy working through this young girl who's possessed with him for whatever reason, but he's working through her masters, with the love of money because they love the money more than they do the deliverance of the girl. They didn't rejoice over her freedom. They sued the guy who got them free. And this is where preachers got in trouble. It's been this way forever. How many have noticed? It's been this way since the beginning of time. Because the enemy hates what God is doing. All right, let's wrap up this morning with this. Let's look at the names of the enemy. I want you to see this. The Bible names of the enemy. So that you can have an understanding of who he is. The purpose here is not to glorify the devil, but to have an understanding of how he is working in your life. So you can use your authority in Jesus' name to stop him. One of the names of the enemy is Lucifer. How many have heard that before? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. We looked at this last week. It means star of the morning or morning star and day star. And it signifies light bearer. This is what he was called in heaven before he was cast out for wanting to be God. Okay? Now, how many ever heard of like Morningstar Ministries or something like that? Do you know Morningstar is also a name given to the Lord? Did you know that, to Jesus? It's not that they're synonymous with each other. You know, some people think, well, yeah, the devil and Jesus were twin brothers. No, they weren't. Okay? They were not. First of all, the devil's an angel at best. That's all he is. Jesus is the Son of God. Okay? And you say, well, what's the significance of that? Well, there are angels everywhere. And do you know you rank higher than them? I said, did you know that you rank higher than angels? I'm not saying you should fight with them or anything. I'm just saying you rank higher than them because you're a child of God. You're a child of the Lord. So one of the names for Satan is Lucifer. Another name for Satan is Satan. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. I'm going to turn there. Says this. Says, therefore he wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again. We wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again. But what? Satan hindered us. So what do we know about Satan? He does what? He hinders. He hinders. The word Satan, it means adversary or opponent. It is used 54 times in the Old and the New Testaments, and it implies, as we see here, someone who is in opposition. The adversary is in opposition to everything and every person that is working with the Lord. Now, in general, he hates all, okay? Even his own he hates because he's hate. That's what he does. He doesn't have love. But he's an opponent. He's an adversary. Another word for Satan, obviously, is the devil. Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. Do you know what the word devil means? Anybody know? It means accuser. Is what it means. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 2. I got to get over to chapter 20. I'm in verse 2 looking for verse 20. That's going to be backwards. Chapter 2, verse 20. Chapter 20, verse 2. It says this. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is what? The devil and bound him for 1,000 years. So, this word actually occurs 35 times in the New Testament. And he accuses man to God. That's what the devil does. He's an accuser. He brings accusations. Another name for him is the serpent. That's found in 2 Corinthians 11:3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. Says this, but I fear lest somehow, we looked at this earlier, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So he's known as the serpent. It's also found, the word serpent, the name denotes crookedness, deceitfulness, and guile. So he's crooked, he's deceitful, and he's guile. Dragon, he's referred to the dragon. I'm not going to go read this one, but this one's Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. We just read it. And 12, verse 9. The word dragon is also coined as a mythical monster, a great serpent, or a fabulous animal. Here's one I really find interesting. This will give you a real picture into the nature of who Satan is. One of his names is Beelzebub, Matthew chapter 10. How many ever heard of Beelzebub? How many read Lord of the Flies in high school? You know what that's about, right? That's about Satan and Jesus. Did you know that? Beelzebub is, it actually, in Matthew chapter 20, let's go there, or chapter 10, I'm sorry, did I say 20 earlier? I meant 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 25, says this. It says, it is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a serpent, I'm sorry, what did I say, 10? 10, 25, yeah, okay. Like his teacher and a servant like his master, if they called the master of the house what? Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? How many of you have ever heard a preacher called the devil? That guy's just of the devil. How many know what Beelzebub means? It means Lord of the Flies. That's what it means. But it was later changed, I love this, to Lord of the Dunghill. The name signifies that Satan is the Lord of all demons. The scripture gives us a picture of Satan as the general in charge of all demon spirits operating in the earth. He is their commander in chief. The enemy has a strategy. The vision statement for hell is to kill, steal, and destroy. Come on. He's the Lord of the dunghill. How many think that might be unclean? Okay? He's the king of poop. I didn't say it, Jesus did. Another name for him is Belial, which means good for nothing and indicates worthlessness, destruction, wickedness, and ungodliness. That's found in Deuteronomy 13, 13, Judges chapter 20, verse 13, and 1 Samuel 10, 27, and 30, 22. Another name for him is tempter. That's found in Matthew 4, 3 and 1 Thessalonians 3, 5. To try, the word tempter means to try whether a thing can be done, to attempt, to endeavor, to try or make trial of, to test, to inflict evils upon one in order to prove his character and the steadfastness of his faith. How many know that the enemy wants to try your faith? Listen, he's not all that interested in how you look or how you dress or what you look like. He's interested in stealing the word out of you. You know, people think, well, I must be super special. I got a lot of things going on wrong in my life. The devil must just be after me. He's not necessarily just after you. He's after the word that is in you. He wants to tempt you to get you out. Come on, somebody say it with me. I will not quit. Believing God. He's a tempter. He's called wicked, evil, or the lawless one. That's found in 1 John 5:19 and 2 Thessalonians 2:8. He's called the prince of this world in John 12:31 and John 14:30 and John 16:11. But the scripture also says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's called the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2 and chapter 2, verse 2, and Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. This suggests Satan's rulership over those angels who shared his sin. Satan as ruler over demons is suggested in these scriptures. He's called the god of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. He's called a deceiver. Wow. He is a master deceiver. Okay? In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15, he's called the angel of light. He can appear as what? Light. He can appear as light. That's why you must know the word. You must know who your enemy is. You must know the word. Why? You say, well, this is too many scriptures. Listen, if you went to play in the NFL as a quarterback, do you know the size of the playbook they give you? Like that thick? And you have to know all the plays front to back. This is more important than throwing around a silly little ball. I said, this is more important than throwing around a silly little ball. Or shooting one through a hoop. You must know your enemy if you are going to fight the good fight of faith. And if you think, well, I can just get the preacher to pray for me, the Lord will allow that for a season. But if you try and live off your parents' faith or live off your preacher's faith and never grow spiritually, the enemy will destroy your life. He will. Well, I didn't come to church to hear about the devil. The Lord taught more about hell and the devil, Jesus Christ, when he was on earth than any other of the epistles, any of the other authors of the Bible. Jesus did. I wonder if he believed in it. Come on. Well, you're taking this a little too serious. I just care about you. Come on, how many have ever done something, you're a parent, and you've woken your kids up by getting a little louder? Oh, buddy, I have. Why? It just wasn't coming the normal way. I'll stand on that chair and preach if I have to. I'll wave a flag above my head. I'll throw plants at you. I'll do something. Why? Because the enemy of your soul is after you, but greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So the enemy knows you're too strong in your faith. So what he tries to do is deceive you out of it. He wants your soul. Why? He wants to stop God, but it's too late. You already lost, devil. I'm born again. I'm spirit-filled. Even if you took me out tomorrow, I'm in heaven for eternity. And when the Lord returns, I'm going to pop back up in your face. Why? Because we're on the right team. Team Jesus. Team win. Team already won. But if you're going to be a success in this life, if the vision God gave you is going to come to pass for your family, for your business, for your ministry, for your world, for your life, where you're at, you're going to have to recognize that's the enemy. That's the enemy. This is his name. There he is. It's not that you're afraid. It's that you're aware. You're sober. You're awake. The devil's trying to work in my marriage right now. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over. The devil's trying to work in my kids. I'm not going to let you, devil, work in my kids in the name of Jesus. Come on. You're trying to work in my business. You can't work. You're trying to work in the church. How many know the devil tries to work in the church? He is not welcome. In my marriage, I'm going to function in the love of God. With my kids, I'm going to function in the love of God. In my business, I'm going to function in the love of God. And I'm going to recognize Beelzebub and go, no, 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 you go back to your dung pile. You go back to your poop. You can't bring your poop here. Get out. I did not give him that name. The Lord did. Go back to your poop. Go. You stink. Get out. Don't let the enemy make a mess in your house. I think that's the title for today's message. Don't let him. He's called the murderer. John 8:44 and John 10:10. Which means manslayer. He is exactly that. He's called the father of lies. So where did lies, where were they birthed from? Their father, Satan. That's found in John 8:44, 2 Thessalonians 2:9 through 11, Acts 13:10, and Acts 5:3. He's called a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, which means he may not if you resist him. And lastly, he's called the destroyer. Revelation 9:11. It's from the Hebrew Abaddon. But in the Greek, it is Apollyon. Though this means destroyer. Imagine the devil as a king over the bottomless pit, which literally means the abyss. The abyss. The abyss. He is all these things. Now next week, we're going to do this. We're going to get into even a little bit more about who he is. But then we're going to start talking about how to beat him and how to defeat him how he operates and tries to sneak in and get working in people's lives. I've watched it for so many years. It's interesting because you say, you've watched it or you've participated. At times I've participated. Why? Because I'm not perfect. I got deceived. But the longer you walk with the Lord, the more light you walk in, the less he's able to do in your life. I'm not saying you'll never be free of attacks. I'm not saying you'll never be free of trouble in this life, because Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have trouble. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Okay? So we need to recognize, realize, understand, this is the enemy. These are his names. This is how he operates. I now see and recognize who he is and how he operates and his characteristics, so that you're walking through your day-to-day life. When somebody says something to you that's outside the will of God, you can go, wait. Nope. That's not for me. You say, that wouldn't happen. Really? Peter tried to do it with Jesus. Peter said, no, Lord, because Jesus said, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be raised from the dead. And Peter said, these things aren't going to happen to you. And what did Jesus look at Peter and say? Get behind me. Woo. How would you like that if you came up and asked me, said something to me, and I said, get behind me, Satan? I'd be biblical. In other words, what is Jesus doing? He's recognizing when the enemy is working. Jesus is aware when Satan is on the move, when the tactics of the enemy are beginning to happen. Come on, stand with me if you would. Come on, think about it. When thoughts are coming to you that are divisive in your marriage. Hello, enemy. When thoughts are coming to you that are fearful and oppressive in nature. Come on. When they are deceiving, when they're trying to get you to see things a way that isn't correct, isn't from the Word, isn't from the Lord. Pay attention. When thoughts, suggestions, when things are coming to you that fall inside the categories of the names of Satan that we just looked at, you need to stand up in the face of those and say, no, I submit to the Word of God in this situation, and I resist you, Satan. You cannot, in the name of Jesus. And then when you've done all you can to stand, you... Well, can't the battle just go away? It will when you complete your faith in action. Amen? And you say, well, I don't want another have another battle. Well, you can go to heaven if you want. But as long as you're on earth, guess what? You get a fight, the good fight. Amen. The Lord is so good to us. How many learned something you didn't know today? That enemy is working. You got to watch. Be alert. Be sober. Be vigilant. Amen? Father, we just thank you for today. Glory to God. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we don't take lightly your word. You said that we were to be nourished up by the words of faith. Father, your words, the entrance of your words, carries faith with it. So we thank you for the seed and the truth and the renewing, transforming power of your word that's in operation and that we heard today. Holy Spirit, as we meditate on these things, as we carefully observe our lives and carefully observe and follow the leading of your word and your Holy Spirit, enlighten us to the truths that we've heard today. As we apply them, and Lord, as you lead us and guide us according to your word, we will be effective in spiritual warfare in our lives. Father, we thank you that we have been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power, wickedness, everything that the enemy has. We've been seated high above in you. So as you teach us, as you lead us, as you guide us, we will obey. We will be doers and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you guys. Have a great week. Don't forget about youth tonight and then Bible study on Wednesday.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.